Now I see grace.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming out in the nice, dreary weather we've got going on. As we gather here this morning, I just welcome everyone to stand up, turn around for just a few minutes of fellowship. Say hello to your neighbor in the pew next to you across the aisle. Kevin is going to be continuing his sermon series this week, Chatting with God. I'd like to share a verse with you from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "Let us then go fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help us in good time for every need, appropriate and well-timed help coming just when we need it." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us together. Thank you for the ability to be able to gather here today. I just pray for all the leaders of today's worship, Lord, that they would lead and guide us in time with you, that we may put aside the distractions, focus in on you, focus in on your word, so that we may grow in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Do you pray? I love those street interviews, because you know those folks are just being honest. They're just telling it how they think, how they feel, how they experience it. We're talking about prayer and chatting with God in this series, and I thought that would be a good way to get us started. Most people want to chat with God. I think most people just don't know how to chat with God. There are times, however, when we need to be chatting with God, talking with God, praying with God. We're going to look at that today in the second part of our series, Chatting with God. Today I want to talk about chatting with God for bold blessings. If you have your outline, take it. If you don't, get it out. Get a pen or pencil. You can follow along as we go through here. Chatting with God for bold blessings. Today we're going to talk about a fellow named Jabez. And if you look at these verses with me, it says a little bit about him in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him with pain.' Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me.'" Love the last sentence. "And God granted what he," Jabez, "requested." This is a very unique passage in Scripture. Jabez is a man about whom most people may have never even heard, and we don't know a whole lot about him. His name is tucked away in a list of over 500 other names. Many times in the Bible where there are names listed, genealogies are given, and there's no specific reference to who that person was, and certainly not about the person's life or what he did. But the writer of 1 Chronicles felt it was necessary to tell us about this one man, Jabez. He doesn't tell us a lot about Jabez, and as quickly as he is introduced, just as quickly he disappears. Jabez, an example of a person who was chatting boldly with God. Now, the one thing we do know about Jabez is that he prayed. He chatted with God for bold blessings. He prayed boldly to God. So I want us to look, first of all, about the personal preparation for chatting boldly with God. You got to get ready. Most of us got up in enough time this morning to get ready for church, whatever that entailed. Couldn't wash your hair? Wear a hat, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Sandy. I need to pray. Oh, my gosh. I've never gotten flustered like this in a long time. One of the first things we need to do, we need to become, number one, fill this in, we must be honorable. We must be honorable. The Bible says here that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Among the hundreds of others mentioned with him, none of them were worthy of mention. But Jabez was, because he was more honorable, he was more respected than his brothers. Now, folks, if we want to pray boldly with God, we need to be honorable. We need to be respectable. Not perfect, not having it all together all the time, but at least having a desire to follow God and to grow with God and to serve God and to obey God. That's what makes us honorable. Not perfection, but desire to be who God wants us to be. The personal preparation for chatting with God includes being honorable. And number two, we also must not let pain discourage us. Scripture there says, "And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain." Now, all births are somewhat, if not excruciatingly, painful for the mom. Us guys have no idea what that's like, because that's what I've been told. We get a little scratch and we're whining and complaining, and you have no idea. It was a painful experience. Some of the names that I've looked at, because Jabez's name means painful. That's kind of rough. Do you mind going through life and everybody just calling you painful? Hey, pain in the neck. Hey, you know, I looked up some names. It absolutely blew me away. Here's some girls' names. These are names that are actually used that were on birth certificates. Moon Unit. Cyanide. Seriously? Portabella. Felony, but with a PH. Felony. Cinnamon. Cricket. I like this one. Navaje. That's heaven spelled backwards. Wanted to say heaven. Northwest. Fanny. Not kidding. Here's some guys' names. Version 2.0. He didn't want to say junior, so he named him version 2.0. Durfla, that's Alfred spelled backwards. What are these people thinking? Harm, they named their boy Harm, setting him up for success, I guess. Dwizzle, Frank Zappa's son, who is the mother of Moon Unit. Those were the two names Frank Zappa used. So, does anybody here who know who Frank Zappa is? Three of us? Oh, look at the old guys pointing out. Look at that. Good, good. Now, here are some names, not American names, but I got these names from New Zealand. These were on the records. These names, it said, could go for a boy or a girl. Number 16 bus shelter. Gee, I wonder what happened at number 16 bus shelter. An Egyptian named his kid Facebook. Sanitizer. A Sweden boy was named Google. Ah. Jabez's name was Pain. Here's a pain. His name meant sorrow. What a name to give a person. We could all probably somewhat identify with people who are pains in our lives. Some are royal pains. But to actually name your child pain, sorrow, suffering. Can you imagine how he must have felt growing up? I remember, son, when you were born into this world, you were such a little cute pain. Now you're a grown-up pain. One thing that this name brings to mind is the biblical principle that this, write this down, pain and prominence go together. Pain and prominence many times go together. They did for Jabez. They did for this boy named Pain. Have you ever noticed the frequency with which these two seem to be living at the same address? We've talked about it many times, how the pains and the hurts and the trials of life lead us to become better people, better children of God. And when we go through those hard times, God sets us up so that when somebody else goes through those hard times, we can help them, we can counsel them, we can listen better to them. Folks, don't ever let pain and discouragement do you in. If you want to be prominent in God's work, you'll have to go through some painful times. That's just the way it works. The Bible says of Jesus himself that he was called a man of sorrows and was acquainted with grief. Personal preparation for chatting boldly with God means that we become honorable. It means we must not let pain discourage us. And number three, we must practice praying consistently. Practice praying consistently. Look at the verse there. It says, now Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now this seems pretty obvious, but the Bible does say that Jabez actually prayed. He actually took time to talk with God. And since this is all we really know about Jabez, I think that since he was known by his praying and for his praying, he must have done it consistently, frequently, often. He prayed. He talked to God boldly, as opposed just to study about prayer, about sermonizing about prayer, about talking about it, about singing about it. Jabez actually took time on his knees before God to pray. And it's important, folks, because it doesn't matter how much you study about prayer, thought that prayer was important. It doesn't matter how much you do any of that. What matters is how often, how much do you practice it. If you want to pray boldly, then you've got to take time to put everything else aside and talk with God. D.L. Moody, who lived from the mid-1800s to the late 1800s, was a preacher. He preached, it says, to over 200 million people back in the mid to late 1800s. And it says, too, about his life that he, his influence through his prayer time, his preaching time, led over 1 million people to Jesus Christ. And here's one of his quotes. He said, every great movement of God in history can be traced to a kneeling figure. Somebody who dared to get on their knees and talk to the Father, prayed boldly to God. If we want that kind of thing to happen in God's kingdom through us, at our church, in our families, in our lives, so other people can come to know Jesus and be blessed, we will spend time, we must spend time in prayer, talking to God, chatting with God, consistently. If all we do is sermonize about it, walk away and say, hey, that was a good sermon, go home and don't practice it, what a waste. What a waste of time. We practice it. Jabez also gives an example of what to ask. What Jabez asks for in his prayer isn't all that we should ask for, but it's a wonderfully great start. So when you chat with God, number one, you must ask passionately. You ask passionately. Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, God. bless me indeed. Now, at first glance, that can sound a little selfish. God bless me. But Jabez was not being selfish here at all. Not only is there nothing wrong with praying that God's blessing will come upon you, it's also good and right to do. When you are in a loving, obedient relationship with God and He blesses you, you will automatically become a blessing to other people. God bless me. Not selfishly, not so I can just have it all. God bless me, and I, God, will serve you so that other people will be blessed through the way you're working in my life. That ought to be a prayer for our church. God bless Grace Point Church. Bless us. Why? So we'll have renovated buildings and a sanctuary. It's going to look a little different. Everything's good. It smells new. Everything's good. No. God bless our church so we can reach more people for Jesus. If that's not what we're about, keep your money, close the doors, and just get out of here. What a waste of time if that's not our goal. Ask passionately when you pray. Pray like the answers to your prayers totally, absolutely depend upon you. Realizing, though, they are absolutely dependent upon God. It reminds me of a farmer who had three sons, Jim, John, and Jack. No one in the family ever attended church or had time for God in their lives, and the pastor and others in the church tried for years to interest the family in the things of God, but to no avail. Then one day, Jack was bitten by a rattlesnake, and the doctor called in and said, "Hey, this is really bad. You better bring the pastor down." So they called the pastor. The pastor was new to the church. He didn't need to know these people. He didn't really know much about anything. He was just brand new. And so the pastor came down and said, "You know, I guess I need to pray for him." And so his prayer went like this: "O wise and righteous Father, we thank you that in your wisdom you sent this rattlesnake to bite Jack. You know Jack has never been inside the church, and it is doubtful that he has ever prayed or acknowledged your existence in his entire life. Now, God, we pray that this experience will be a valuable lesson to him, and that he will then lead to his genuine repentance." And he goes on, "And now, God, will you please send another rattlesnake to bite Jim, and one more to bite John, and another really big one to bite the old man? For years we have done all we could do to get these folks into church, all in vain. It seems, therefore, God, that what our combined efforts could not do, this rattlesnake has done. We therefore conclude that the only thing that will do this family any good are rattlesnakes. So, Lord, send us bigger and better rattlesnakes. Amen and amen." That's a passionate prayer right there. That's a gutsy prayer. With passion, send in the rattlesnakes, God. They need them. When you chat with God, you need to chat passionately. Jabez said, "God, bless me indeed. Leave no doubts. God, bless me indeed." Do you hear the passion in his voice? Indeed. When is the last time you talked to God with a sense of passion? That word indeed gives a sense of quality. It was a prayer of passion. It was also a bold prayer, as Jabez wasn't asking for something small or minor or insignificant, but rather for something large. It's one thing to ask for God's blessings. It's quite another to ask for God's blessings indeed. When you chat with God, chat passionately. Number two, when you chat with God, ask for your influence to grow. Jabez said, "And enlarge my border." In Jabez's day, a border or coast marked the limit of a person's or a family's influence. It marked the realm of his responsibility. And so Jabez is praying for an extended responsibility, lengthened influence, heightened opportunity. He unapologetically asks for more real estate, more influence, and more life. This may be the boldest prayer he's ever prayed. And yet he was a common, everyday working man. We need to pray that our influence would grow, personally and collectively as a church. Call on God, turn to him, talk to him, and he will not only get you out of a jam, out of a mess that we've made, he will give us a renewed life full of meaning and purpose. He will cause our influence to grow into people's lives, in our family, outside of our family, people that we encounter, people our church may influence. Ask God to help your influence to grow. Ask God to enlarge your borders of influence on other people. And this teaches us that we too need to include in our prayers for ourselves, our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our church, and for all those we're trying to reach, that our influence may grow. Number three, ask for a submissive life to God. Ask for a submissive life to God. Jabez said, and that your hand, God, and that your hand might be with me. Jabez knew it would be unwise to have blessings of God without the hand of God along with it to keep him humble, to keep him submissive, to keep him in line with where God wanted him to be. Jabez was asking God to control him, to direct him, and to guide him, that the very hand of God would do that for him. Folks, we need to understand that answered prayer will not happen unless one's life is in God's control. We can't ask God for this and then not have our lives lined up with what God wants for us. Our church can't ask God for these things and then not be a church lined up with what God says our church should be. We need to be a person with a life under God's direction and guidance, so when we pray bold prayers, they will be answered in bold ways. When Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you, he also said to remain in him, to abide in him. That is to walk submissively according to his will for your life. And when we do that, I believe God will give us the bold prayers we need to ask him for, and I sure believe when that happens, he'll give us an answer. So ask God to grow you, to make you submissive to him daily. It may mean you've got to give up some things. It may mean you need to start some things like reading your Bible, being a part of a small group or a fellowship. Allow God to take full control of your life. Submit to him. That does not mean you have to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect on this side of heaven. But we can be usable. We can absolutely, totally be usable by God. When you chat with God, ask passionately. Ask for your influence to grow. Ask for a submissive life to God. And number four, ask for victory over the enemy. Jabez says, and that you, God, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Jabez is praying that he would be kept from evil, from making bad, wrong, or unwise, selfish choices, decisions. It's like when Jesus gave us the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, and he said, and deliver us from evil, the evil one. Because Satan is real, folks. He's real. He doesn't always come up in our face and say, here I am, I'm going to... No, he's not stupid. He's subtle. He wants to get in your way, and you don't even know he's trying to do it yet. There is a spiritual battle that goes on all the time between us, God, and Satan. Just remember, folks, behind every one of your battles that you face, there's a bigger battle going on. There's an ultimate battle going on, a larger battle, and war is raging in and for your life that you cannot see. It's spiritual warfare. It is Satan himself fighting against God and the angels for control of your life, heart, mind, attitude, and behavior. And Satan's never going to come up to you and say, bow down and worship me, because he knows we won't do it. But he can get to us in ways that we may not even be aware of, chipping away at our weak points. And before you know it, we fall. Folks, if you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, Satan cannot ultimately have your soul. That's been settled. You never have to worry about that again. But he can tempt you and weaken you and draw your attention and obedience away from God, draw your love for God away from God, and begin to tear us down. So the bad news, we are all caught up in a 24/7, 365 spiritual battle with the enemy that never ends. That's the bad news. Every day, never ends. He's there, never ends. You may not always think about it, you may not always feel it. He's there. 24/7, 365, that's the battle. The good news, we've already won. He's just too stupid to realize it. We've already won. We already have the victory. Paul said in Romans 8:2, for the new spiritual principle of life is in Jesus Christ, and it lifts me out of the old vicious cycle of sin. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul said, our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's places. Paul said in Romans 8:31, so what can we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? Ask for the victory over the enemy that Jesus has already secured for you. And the last thing we see here in the prayer of Jabez is that when we chat with God and we chat with him about bold blessings, you need to expect an answer. You need to expect God to answer you. It says, and God granted him what he requested. Every child's prayer at Christmas time. My dad, my mom, my uncle, my aunt, everything I ask for, bring it. We are taught that we need to include this in our prayers for ourselves, for our family, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our church, for folks we're trying to reach. Expect God to answer. When you chat with God, number one, ask passionately. Number two, ask for your influence to grow. Number three, ask for a submissive life to God. It says, and that your hand might be with me. Jabez knew it would be unwise to have the blessings of God without the hand of God along with them to guide him in his way, to keep him humble, to keep him submissive, to keep him reminding himself how much he needs God in his life. And so he's asking God to be controlled and directed by God's hand. Folks, we need to understand that answered prayer will not happen unless one's life is under God's control. When Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you, he had also said to remain in me, to abide in me, to walk submissively with me daily. You can't have a minimalistic walk with God and expect bold answers to your prayers. It's not going to happen. So ask God to grow you, to make you submissive to Him on a daily basis. When you chat with God, ask passionately, ask for your influence to grow, ask for a submissive life to God, and ask for victory over the enemy. It says there, and that you would keep me from harm, that it would not pain me. Jabez is praying that he would be kept from evil, from making bad, wrong, unwise, selfish, sinful decisions. It's like when Jesus gave us the model prayer and said, Lord, deliver me from evil. He wasn't just praying that we would be protected from the evil in the world, but that we would pray in a way that says, I don't let me succumb to it. God, the temptation's going to be there, but help me to always make the right choice. I've said this before, that behind every battle you face is a bigger battle, an ultimate battle, a larger battle, a war that's raging in your life that you cannot see. It's spiritual warfare. Folks, if you're saved, you're a believer, Satan cannot ultimately hurt you. Not one bit. Not one bit. So we need to expect the answer. The Bible says that God granted him what he requested. Boy, that's a pretty simple answer to a pretty good passage, isn't it? Hey, everything's done? God gave it to him. God granted it. He got it. Here's what I want, Lord. God said, you got it. Just remember how he asked, what kind of person he was. But sometimes we need to act like we actually won the race. We win. At the end of the day, Christians, we win. We win. Some of you may remember Harry Carey was an announcer for the Cubs baseball team years and years ago. Remember that? And that was when the Cubbies weren't doing well. They didn't do well for a long time. And every time they were at home and they would win, you heard Harry Carey saying, Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win! Listen, Christians win. We've already won. Sometimes we just need to act like it. So, about what do you need to chat boldly with God? Maybe your health. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need recovery. Your finances, not just enough to get by. Pray boldly. God, don't just give me enough to get by. Give me enough to get me out of debt. Give me enough so I have enough then to put more back into your kingdom, to take care of my family. God, just you own all the gold in the world, God. How about a little bit, huh? Pray boldly. How about a new job? One that will use your strengths and better give you opportunities to move up? How about for your children? Other relatives, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, to become saved. And then to get involved in a local church where they can grow, where they can serve. What do you need to pray boldly about in your life right now? Please don't tell me you don't have anything that you can pray boldly about. You don't have anything in your life? Pray for me. My dear wife needs you to pray for me. So what about as the body of believers here at Grace Point Church? We need to pray that someone's going to get saved, not just once in a while. How about full-on spirit-filled salvation of hundreds of people to whom we minister? Say, Kevin, we're just a little church. And little churches, big churches, same God. Don't tell me God can't do that kind of work for this church. He most certainly can. Jonathan, who led our music this morning, he's up here every week. About a year and a half ago, went on a mission trip to Guatemala. Some of you may remember that. Remember that? He's feeling God's leadership to go back. We can pray for him. Libby and I were talking with him at length about this, and I don't, Lord, when we pray you out this time, and your wife is gone, Nicole, We're not just going to pray that God will keep you safe. We're not going to just pray that you'll work well with the children and some of the adults. We're going to pray that God will use you and Nicole and the other parts of the team to win people to Jesus, to get their parents changed around who take better care of their children. We're going to pray that things would happen that you've never even thought of. Think we can do that? You think that's bold praying? Whatever you want, double it. Whatever you need. And here's something else. I'm not committing anybody to anything, but I know we're in the midst of a building program. I get it. We're spending a lot of money. My regular offering, my growing church, I want us to help fund him. Don't tell me God's not going to give you some more that you can't give to him. I know he will. Pray boldly about that. I think it was really cool this past Christmas Eve. Pastor John's in the back. Don't you know one of my pastors sits in the back while I'm preaching? This Christmas Eve, Pastor John baptized a young man. That was so cool. If you were here, wasn't that great? Yeah, well, let's pray a little more boldly than that. Let's pray we get the baptistry a little more usage than we've been doing. Let's pray that every special service we have going forward, no matter what it is, we have people to baptize, showing that they've been saved and they're ready to join the church in Jesus Christ. Let's get a little more bold. God, thanks for the one you gave us this past Christmas Eve. No! God, thank you that that's a good start. And how can we not mention growing grace? Things are going pretty good so far. The exterior, we still have to paint the buildings. Jeff called me this week. He said, if we can't paint them because it's been too cold. I was like, what are they, sissies or what? Get them out here? No. So we got a good start on the outside. We're getting ready to go to the inside of the church, the fellowship hall. Then we're moving over here. We did this with hoping that we'd get enough pledges for 2 years, to give over 2 years, to have all we needed to do this. I won't ever have to go to the bank and say we need money. Now, we're actually progressing more quickly than we thought. We were going to do a little bit here and then wait, a little bit here, then wait. And then we realized that's going to be more expensive if we do that, by several thousand dollars. So we're just going for it. We're trusting God to bring the money in. How about by the time we get done this and we have the great celebration, the dedication and all of that, how about let's pray boldly and by that day, paid for. Let's make that a bold prayer. You with me on that? Be careful, God may be using you to answer it. Here's what I pledged, God, but I know here's what you want me to give. Let's learn together how to chat boldly with God for bold blessings. Will you do that? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for Jabez giving us a little glimpse into his life and to kind of follow and maybe figure out a little bit about why you used him and why you blessed him so incredibly well. Help us, Lord, to do nothing else but to follow his example in our prayer. And we pray for bold blessings. We pray that we'd be obedient, that we would be people of prayer, that we would follow in love with you, do what you call us to do, so that when we pray, you don't just hear our prayers, but you'll answer our prayers. And Father, show us, as your people here at Grace Point Church, show us how you are answering so we can rejoice together and we can bless you and praise you as you deserve. Now we want to thank you. Because if the fact is known, God, you've blessed us more than ever that we've prayed. We're grateful. You Use this response time, Father, for all of us in our hearts, our minds, to see how we need to respond. Have your will and your way done. Boldly. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Kevin, I put two things together in this message. One is asking for something boldly, and Harry Carey. So how many know Harry Carey? Anybody know? So, Kevin, we were in Chicago at the National Youth Workers Convention eating at Harry Carey's restaurant. And guess who was there? Me. No, Harry Carey was there. I boldly asked the waiter, can I get his autograph? And then the waiter said, as long as his food hasn't arrived, and we boldly got his autograph. Hey, there it is. So Harry Carey, look it up, folks. Younger people, you don't know, but that's exactly what we're talking about, just boldly going to God and saying, hey, here's what I would love to see happen at this church. And one of the bold requests I'm going to say is this. If you're a guest with us today, we'd love for you to fill out that card. Kevin mentioned it. We'd love to add people on our email list, our text list. We send out verses and all and just let you know what's happening, especially with the renovation of things going on. Lots happening every week. So if you haven't done that yet, fill that out. Put it on the card. There's three boxes in the back. Also, come by and say hi to Kevin or myself here today. And Jonathan as well. Appreciate Jonathan stepping in. And helping out this week. And matter of fact, give Jonathan a hand for stepping out and doing such a great job. We didn't say, you know, small groups are meeting over here. If you're at the church, your groups are here. The women's group on Wednesday, the men's group on Wednesday night, Thursday morning group. I think we had 15 or 16 crowded in the back there. We'll figure that one out. So come on out and be a part of that as well. And one other thing. Last week, two guys, I was meeting with a couple of guys in the youth, and last week we prayed for one of those guys in one of his classes at school. And Kevin, it was so neat. We walked in there today, and I said, how'd it go this week? And he said, much better, much better. Prayer really does make a difference. So thank you guys for being here. Thank on this cold day coming out. Amen. Yes, he will. And take that prayer with you as you go today. Again, if you're a guest with us, don't forget that little card and also come by and say hi to one of us. We'd love to meet you and chat for a minute. So let's pray together as we go. Lord, thank you again that we can come boldly to your throne. And we can come boldly in prayer to chat and to talk with you, to listen to you as well, and to hear the things that you want in our lives, that we will match it up and make those prayers boldly. Thank you again, Lord, for each one who's come out to share in this time. We love you. We praise you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.